Get after it, PDX. In-depth conversations with inspiring people in the creative hotbed of Portland, Oregon, and beyond. Now, let's welcome the host of Get After It PDX and the co-founder of Y East Wolfpack, Willie McBride.
Hey folks, a quick word about our sponsors. The Amesir Distilling Company, a new distillery focused on bringing people together through great flavors and a warm environment. They love the way spirits taste, but more importantly, they love that they bring people together to make memories, build bridges, and crystallize the moment. Opening in spring 2020 in Northeast Portland. Today's episode is also brought to you by Daybreak Racing, a Portland, Oregon company offering some of the finest trail running events and trail stewardship opportunities available today. Daybreak Racing has been uniting the adventurous and wild-hearted with the mountain, coast, and forest trails of the Pacific Northwest since 2016. Adventure begins at Daybreak. Visit them at daybreakracing.com.
Welcome, folks. We are back with another episode of Get After It PDX. This is one of our special health and wellness editions due to the current times we're in, quarantine life. We are here today with very special guest, Carrie Mann, who is a certified holistic health coach specializing in corporate wellness here in Portland, Oregon. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
We are very excited to have you on this absolutely stunning day in Portland.
I know, but like I can't even see a cloud in the sky, so I'm feeling it.
Yeah, we're lucky despite all the things going on to have a day like this, have very nice weather right now.
Absolutely.
So you have been, you know, in the holistic health coaching you do and the corporate wellness work. You are currently, I believe, have just finished designing some curriculum that is aiming to be useful around the current times we find ourselves in. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I just noticed how many people that I know personally, and then just, you know, reading all about how much people are so stressed right now and really struggling working from home. And so I just decided to put together a program called Healthy at Home for corporate employees, but also just for people that are kind of switching over to working at home. And it's been really fun to put together because it calms me down when I like learn about all these different things. So we really focus on managing stress with like really simple, doable tips, and just kind of building that community and giving people the connection that they're craving so much. And, you know, especially for all the people that are so social, it's nice to have that check-in. And we do it twice a week, so it's, like, enough that people are still excited and looking forward to it, but not so much that it's, like, oh, my gosh, it's, like, something that you have to do, you know, on a daily basis. So it's going to feel really good. And yeah, it's all about like positivity and like little wins, like doable things. So really focusing a lot on breath work and things that you can incorporate, like, you know, just eating a little bit better and lots of yummy recipes. And then really simple, like short workouts. So you can actually do it if you're working, you know, your normal hours. And yeah, it's really fun.
Wow. So workouts, meaning like physical workouts.
Physical. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is, again, obviously as a holistic health coach, this is hitting all aspects. So there's like mental stuff, mindfulness stuff, stress relief, as well as like getting a physical workout, eating better, all this stuff.
Absolutely.
That's so cool. Yeah. So is that currently available?
It is, yeah. It's something that you can just go to my website and check out, schedule a call, and we can get started. We'll hook you up.
Wow. So is that the format, that there's a direct component of talking to you?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Zoom calls that are like 30 to 45 minutes.
Sorry, and so I know you said the twice a week check-in. Those are one-on-one check-ins, or that's a group thing?
Oh, sorry, I didn't understand. Yes, it's a group.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
As but well as personal check-ins.
But if you want to work with me one-on-one.
Yes.
What's that?
Sorry, so there's, say if you sign up for this Healthy at Home, there's both the group element twice a week and personal check-ins?
Oh, no. Everything is as a group, and then if you do really enjoy it and want more one-on-one connection and support, then that's something that we can talk about working together one-on-one.
Awesome. What is the group size, do you think?
It'll really depend on company to company, just depending on how many people want to sign up, because obviously not everyone is going to, and the company is going to sign up. Like, it's not required. It would be great if everyone did want to do it together, but it's not something that needs to happen. So it could be 30 people, it could be 15, it could be a few hundred.
Wow, that's such an awesome service. I feel like a company to provide that for their employees would be a really wonderful and hopefully much used perk. So you just developed this. This is brand new.
It's brand new, yeah.
And so again, the idea is that it's corporations whose workers used to be on site and now they're all working from home, and all these folks mm-hmm. are dealing with this the transition and the stressors that come along with it.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. I think a lot of people just don't realize how much change can affect them on a day-to-day basis when they're used to going into the office and getting dressed for work and, you know, feeling good and looking good and having that routine of like working out. Maybe they're going to the gym, maybe they're going to their favorite studio, maybe they're, you know, meeting some friends for drinks after work or grabbing food. Like, none of those things are there anymore. And so giving people that routine again. And that's something else that I talk a lot about, is kind of creating your new normal routine and, kind of finding rituals that you really like. I always try to just find the positive and look at the things that are going really well and focusing on the little wins. And that's huge. Like, you just feel so much better when you're focusing on those things. So, yeah.
What, of course, I'm sure you practice what you preach and all the things you just said, but
yeah.
Personally, what are some of the ways you've been coping with the transition, or maybe what are some of the things you've experienced in this transition that have required your sort of attention and focus?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I would say a lot of breath work, a lot of kind of varied exercise, so doing things from yoga to running to body weight, since I don't have a gym, you know, I don't have weights at home. Those things have been really, really helpful. I think exercise is something that people don't always think of for stress, but without that, it is very hard to manage stress. Like, the domestic violence has gone up. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's very high right now. And so, you know, doing all those things personally to work on yourself is so needed right now. And I love cooking, so I've been doing a lot of cooking, walking my dog, just getting outside is helpful. So if you're not used to working out, just going on a walk and being in nature, or just sitting in nature, can be really helpful and just really healing.
Yes, absolutely. We're very lucky around here to have some good opportunities to get outside into the parks, although, of course, we want to be responsible about not overcrowding some of the popular areas.
Right, not in parks that are closed. I mean, like, I have a park down the street that I'll walk my dog to or something, or I'll run in Forest Park, things like that are still legal. I'm not telling you to do anything illegal, promise.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, I know obviously you have a long history is with, you know, wellness work and getting into this sort of thing. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, we're not going to sort of do the full story, but yeah. When did you sort of start thinking about like wellness as a career and taking steps to do that?
Oh, wow.
Big question, I know.
In my late 20s, I would say. But I wasn't sure about it because I was still really sick. I had arthritis and Lyme disease for about half of my life. And so I wasn't quite there yet because it was really scary. And everyone kept telling me that it wasn't going to happen. Like, I couldn't do it. I wasn't healthy enough. And that definitely held me back for a while. But I also was I felt so horrible on a daily basis that it was hard to believe that I'd ever be able to help other people and that I'd be able to get healthy enough. And then I think when I was 30, I finally decided, okay, I'm gonna get certified to be a health coach because one of my friends was doing it. I'm like, well, she can do it, I can do it. And I went through the program and I was still kind of not feeling great, wasn't quite there yet, but I learned so much during that program, and then I would kind of be my own guinea pig and experiment on myself and see, well, like, is this something that I could work on with someone? Like, do I like this? Does this make sense? And so that trial and error period really helped me figure out what it is that I wanted to focus on with people and what it is that I wanted to specialize in, and it was super life-changing, and I'm so glad that I went through that.
What were you doing before that as a job?
I was directly out of college. I was an office manager for a psychology practice. I hated it. I have a really hard time sitting still, so that didn't work very well. And then after that, I was doing lifestyle and fitness modeling, and that was really challenging because I wasn't healthy yet, and so I had to basically act like I was healthy, and then I'd come home and crash. So it was definitely the right move for me. It was the right direction.
Was your state of dealing with this Lyme disease and feeling so bad all the time, was that sort of like the impetus to like take your life in this opposite direction of, or like that's what sort of sparked and catalyzed the desire to go into wellness? Is like, I want to feel good and I want to work, or, you know, work towards that and learn how to do it and then pass it on to other people.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that it was a big part of it, but I also was very stubborn because there were so many things that went against me and so many doctors that told me no or told me that I couldn't do something. So it was kind of one of those things that just all kind of fell into place at the right time. But I wasn't really sure that I'd be healthy enough. And luckily I was, and luckily I found all the right treatments and health practitioners to work with, because you just don't know when you're that sick. I mean, I definitely could have died from Lyme disease. And so I think my stubbornness definitely was a positive. You know, I was told I could never run a marathon, or I could never run. You can tell where my head's at. I could never run, and I ended up running a marathon. I mean, in the beginning, I could hardly walk. So I just had something within me that was like, don't tell me no, just tell me no and I will do it, because I just had this ability to like push through all of it and come out the other side, luckily. But you know, sometimes stubbornness isn't a good quality, so you have to use it in the right way.
Selective stubbornness, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
So when did the journey, the unwanted journey with Lyme disease begin?
So I got sick when I was a sophomore in high school. So I was very young, and I was really confused because I was a runner and a tennis player, and I had a trainer at our local gym, and I remember my trainer saying, hey, Carrie, I feel like you're kind of going backwards, like you're having a really hard time with these weights. And I was working two jobs at the time, and I could hardly just put weight on my feet. And so I had to quit everything. And I could hardly get dressed on my own. Like, I couldn't really put my arms above my head. And so I would get kind of panicked because I would get stuck in shirts often, and it was embarrassing to say, hey, Mom, can you help me with this? As a stubborn person, you know you want to be able to do it on your own, right? So, yeah, not the easiest thing to deal with as a young woman.
Wow, and so when did this essentially resolve? What was the duration of this, these years of dealing with this?
I was about 15-ish years. I got better, I would say, at 30, 31 was when I got healthy. So I'm 34 now. It hasn't been that long. But my life has completely been taken on a different trajectory because of what I decided to do.
And so what were the exact steps that sort of tipped the scales towards the good?
Well, this is intense. Are you ready?
Only if you want to share. I'm always ready, yes.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to share. I got married at 23, and that was a bad move. He turned out to be an alcoholic. I did not know that at the time, obviously. And so that's what brought me to Portland. And I was married for almost 4 years. And it was like a very abusive emotionally and no physical abuse, luckily. But it was very challenging to be sick and be in that situation. So I got divorced. I got off of all of my medications because I was on a huge cocktail of all kinds of things that the doctors that I was seeing thought I should be taking. So I started seeing a naturopath and taking supplements. And I started doing some natural treatments that I now do for my clients, if like one-on-one clients, if that's something that is beneficial for them. And I started eating differently. I cut, you know, certain people out of my life. I mean, literally everything changed. Nothing was the same. And it was a huge, like, radical transformation. And I remember one of my friends from Portland, maybe, I don't remember who it was. Anyway, they said, Carrie, you seem happy. What is going on? And I don't even remember what I said, but I remember that moment. And I realized that I hadn't been happy for years because I was miserable. I was in so much pain. And so kind of getting out of that vicious cycle was what I needed. And it wasn't just one thing. It was everything. So maybe that's not the answer people want to hear, but that's really what it was for me. And often to change your health, it doesn't have to be that drastic, but when you're that sick, it does have to be that drastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, that's the whole holistic part again, is that it's not health sort of inherently is holistic or has to be, should be looked at holistically, because it's never just one-sided. It's always, so it was like part of what was making you feel bad was like emotional things and mental things and beyond just physical things or physical illness within your body.
Right. Yeah. Right. There was a lot more going on there than just the illness.
Well, I'm so happy you made that transition.
Me too. Me too.
That's wonderful.
Definitely feel like a different person.
So I know you mentioned running and you mentioned Forest Park and mm-hmm. your love of trail running. Tell us a little bit about that. When did you, have you always run trails, or, you know, as you got healthy, you start running more?
Yeah. I actually started running trails pretty recently. I loved roads for for the longest time. And then people kept telling me, like, okay, you have to go run trails. And I thought, well, why would I want to be out of the sunshine? This doesn't make any sense. And I would go to Forest Park and get lost, and it was just kind of a mess. It wasn't that fun. And I just kept doing it, and eventually I stopped getting lost, and I couldn't figure out why I hadn't done it. Like, this seems crazy. This is an amazing place to be. It just feeds your soul, and I can just run for miles there, and it's just healing. That's all I can say about it. It's just healing, yeah.
And so would you recommend that in general as like a anxiety reducer sort of? I feel like, you know, things like climbing or trail running, running in general, but even more so trail running, are great because they really facilitate mindfulness more easily than other activities.
I would say whatever feeds your soul, if it's running in Forest Park or on trails or climbing, that is definitely what you should do. Cycling, I don't tell people specifically how to work out unless they want me to. Often people really know what they need deep down. And if you hate it, it's not going to be sustainable. So find something that you love. It can be dancing. I don't care what it is, as long as it's healthy and it makes you, it kind of feeds that drive that you're looking for.
I love it. That's a great way to look at it. We also share that philosophy of, it's, you know, we often are viewed as just a company that is purely focused on running, but really, if you drill down in our philosophy, it's about movement, and it's about getting out there, getting after it as a general concept rather than getting after it only in a specific way, only as, you know, only running.
Right. Yeah, no, that's why I love you guys. I remember the first time we talked, you talked about how you work with people in different ways than just running, and that's when it clicked. I was like, okay, I need to talk to you more because we think the same way. So yes, I'm all about it. Yes.
What if you could sort of distill all your wisdom, especially at this time, into three tips? General tips and like through your, you know, Healthy at Home program. So your first three suggestions for somebody to focus on as they embrace being home so much during quarantine. So I know, like you said, you know, the importance of routine and rituals. So maybe those are some of them, but what are sort of a big three that you would tell someone to think about?
That is tough, but I can do it. Let's do three. So I would say breath work. You know, something, it does, that's not true. It does not have to be breath work. It could be meditation. It could be breath work. It could be, you know, being in nature. But whatever it is that helps you with stress, that is absolutely non-negotiable right now. If you're not managing stress, you aren't going to be freaking out often, and that's really tough to do when you're alone, right? So figuring out something that's really quick, it could be like a 5-minute meditation or even a 5-minute walk. Like, if that's really, like, you got to start small. I'm all about baby steps and working up to more. So the breath work that I am really into does not take very long. I love Wim Hof, but it is not something that works for everyone, and it's not something that you can do anywhere. So I'm really into something called square breathing, and that is, like, it's something that you know, SEALs, like people in the Army, Navy SEALs, people like that, they're doing this when they're under stress, because you know it's going to work, right? So that's something that I trust, and I'm really into. And the reason I'm so into breath work is because, like, meditation really didn't work for me. My mom was a Buddhist, and she gave me, like, a Buddhist name. It was a whole thing, and I was like, okay, I don't understand why this isn't working for me. Like, what's wrong with me? And I tried a Wim Hof workshop, and it was so life-changing. I actually heard something. Okay, this might be, like, way too woo-woo, but I'm going to tell you anyway because this is my experience. I heard, you are the master of your own destiny. And I got out of there, and it was like, okay, all my clients need to know about breath work. And I kept learning more about Wim Hof. And I'm like, well, this is great, but it seems kind of intense. Like, I don't need people like hyperventilating if maybe they have PTSD or, you know, they have very high stress. It's something that you kind of want to work up to. And you can definitely do it if you're someone with high anxiety. Like, some people really do love it. But you want to go into it knowing that you're maybe not going to take, like, those huge deep breaths right in the beginning. And you don't have to, like, do the ice bath right away. You can, you know, try the shower version of it cold water versus, like, a full-on ice bath. So that is something that I highly recommend. And then food is something that can be super challenging right now because I know we're not going to the store quite as much. And maybe we're snacking more because we're at our desk. We're not being watched by everyone else at work. So we think, like, oh, whatever, I can just eat, you know, chips and dip and cookies and all those, like, more refined foods. But just kind of swapping your chips out for maybe, like, carrots and hummus or maybe apples and almond butter or whatever it is that you really enjoy that's a little bit more wholesome, less, just think, like, less refined, more, like, real food. And you're going to feel a lot better. So think about prepping and making it really easy. Like, if you have garlic that's already chopped up, like, maybe you're going to cook a little more. You know, like, make it easy, make it doable. And then I think connection. That is super, super important. And so since we can't do that necessarily the same way we did it before, you know, find some of your best friends that are like-minded and do a Zoom call every week. Like, pick a day and time and support each other. You know, you want to have those people on your team that are there to hold you accountable, but also, like, celebrate the wins together. And so, and I know that's not really doable for everyone. Maybe you don't have really close friends, or maybe your friends aren't into the same things as you. So that's why I made my course affordable. It's like less than $1 a day. So if you want to be on a Zoom call with other people that are, you know, like-minded and want to manage stress and just kind of create that connection and community, we're there. We're going to be doing breath work twice a week. And we're going to get through this quarantine together. It doesn't have to all be negative. Like, we can focus on the positives too. And I think that is something that a lot of people aren't talking about. So I'm all about finding that silver lining.
I love it. I love that perspective. Really valuable. So just to recap, three pillars you just spoke of was some mode of stress relief. Could be breathing techniques you mentioned, could be 5-minute walk, whatever it is. And then focusing on food and nutrition, taking time to cook and be mindful of that. And then some connecting with people, whether it's friends or family or, you know, through becoming a part of your program.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't have to be hard. Like, let's make it easy. Something that we're going to be excited to do.
Awesome. I really appreciate you talking about all this stuff and telling us about this new program you've developed and some of the tips for getting through this hard time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Of course. I'm going to check it out. I'm excited to use some of these techniques to continue forging on, fighting the good fight.
Yeah. Well, you guys already do a lot of it, but it's great. I love connecting with people like you that are kind of spreading that positivity to everyone that is kind of trudging through it. So keep up the good work.
Well, thank you so much. You as well. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds great.
Bye.
Bye.
This wraps up another edition of the Get After It PDX podcast. For more information about today's guest, including social media links, please check out the show notes for this episode. Thanks for listening. Now it's your turn to get out there and get after it.